Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
I can only remember one other time in ministry. It was at a camp that I did anything like what I'm about to do. I was sitting over there singing now I know some of you will say, well, yeah, it's a safe thing what you're about to say given the size of the room, but that really doesn't matter. I'm just telling you just kind of what God was dealing with over there. I don't know how else to say this. There are some of you in this room right now that you were not with us in worship because your heart is all torn up over something. And I have no idea what it is. And I don't even know how many of you are out there, but you know who you are. This isn't chiding, this isn't fussing. I'm not saying, oh, I wasn't hearing enough people sing. That wasn't it. I'm just saying I was just grieved sitting there. There's evidently a number of you that are just really hurting. And I know some people say, well, that's safe, it's this time of year, et cetera, et cetera. No, seriously. So I don't know who you are. I don't know what all is going on, but I just want to pray for you, okay? I'm not going to call you out, ask you to come forward, nothing like that. I just want to pray for you because God just, I mean, I was almost in tears up here. It was just heavy. So let me pray for you. Lord God, I don't know who's hurting. I don't know why. I don't know how many. But Father, there are people here this morning. Your kids. Maybe people who haven't made a decision to follow you yet. But whatever the case, there are people here this morning and they're hurting. And today during worship, their hearts just weren't in it. Not that they didn't want to be. It's just, there's just so much stuff. There's so much heaviness. There's so much grief. There's so much pain, loss, uncertainty, whatever it is, God. So God, I pray that you just might give them strength. I pray you might encourage their hearts. Not even necessarily through anything that we're about to look at in your word. I pray that you would do that. But Father, I pray that you would do something that would be so personal and so individualized for each one of these hurting hearts that each person would know that it is you and that is you speaking and that it is you encouraging and that it's you who's doing the healing. This is a hard time of year to be wrestling with those things. It's hard any time of year, but especially this time of year when everything seems to be pointing toward the joy and the celebration and the light, and so many people wrestle with that. And so, Father, I pray that today that you would do just that. And I pray that if it's nothing more than just this prayer today, Father, I pray that you'd just use this, and by your Spirit and by your word, that you would just encourage hearts. Father, there's hope. As long as there's breath, there's hope. And so, Father, I pray that whoever's hurting, may they hear with us physically in this room, listening or watching on the internet. Father, I pray that you would give them the encouragement that they need that can only come from you for your glory and your glory alone. I ask that you would speak to us now from your word. And as we look at the incredible gift that you gave us when you gave us your son, I pray that we might have hope because we know that you sent the greatest gift of all when we were absolutely hopeless. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. This Christmas season, you've probably gone to parties, you've probably gone to people's houses, maybe to eat and stuff like that. And it's really easy this time of year, like last 2 weeks ago we talked about we live in a dark world, but it's easy at this time of year when the season is dark to get turned around. I was driving last night, going to a place I had never been before, and I was driving along and had somebody kind of navigating, and we got turned around, and I was like, "Is this the turn? I can't see the sign. Is this the turn? I can't see the sign." And so it's easy to get turned around. It's easy to make a wrong turn. It's easy to miss your exit and things like that whenever it's dark and you're driving around. I want us today to look at, spiritually speaking, how the light was sent to show the way. Because it's important that we are able to know the way, and the only way we're going to know the way is if the way is shown to us. That is, spiritually speaking, the way back to God, the way to have the life that God intended for us to have in Him, trusting in Him, bringing glory and honor and praise to Him, the way that we can have our lives completely and totally transformed and become like Christ. In order to know that way has to be shown to us. And so today, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a passage in Luke chapter 1, and we're looking at how the light has come to show the way. Now, we're going to start, I'm just going to go ahead and say, we're going to start by talking about John the Baptist. And I know some of you say, wait a minute, what does John the Baptist have to do with the whole birth narrative? Well, it's interesting because when you look at the book of John, it starts with the prediction of the birth of the Messiah. And then a little later on, where we're going to pick up next week, we have the birth of Jesus. But then in between, it's the birth announcement of John the Baptist and the birth of John the Baptist. Because we find, if we read a little further in the book of John, we find that John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the one who went before the Messiah to prepare the way. He was going out. He was preaching. He was telling people, prepare yourselves for the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. And so repent. Do these works of repentance. Do these works that show that you want to be cleansed of your sin. And God is going to send the Messiah. God is going to send him. He's on his way, but I'm sent as the forerunner. And so we find in the book of Luke, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist speaks, and he speaks this prophecy. So if you'll look with me at Zechariah's prophecy in Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick up with verse 76. We're not going to read the entire thing. He says this, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Notice he says he's not the Most High. That is, he's not God, but he's the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So Zechariah is prophesying about his son, John the Baptist. But as he's prophesying, when he reaches this point in the prophecy, he says some things that are referencing Jesus himself. What God is going to do when God sends Jesus. So let's just look at that. I want us to look at when Jesus is sent and the light has come to show the way, what does that mean? Well, first of all, he reveals our position. He also reveals our condition. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. But he reveals our position and he reveals our condition. But before I get to that, let me address this first idea here that we find. Verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. The first thing we want to look at here is that Jesus gives us mercy, but mercy gave us Jesus. Jesus gives us mercy. Mercy gives us Jesus. What does that mean? Well, whenever we receive Jesus as our Savior, we do receive mercy. Absolutely. Jesus gives us that mercy. But mercy sent Jesus to begin with. The reason that Jesus was sent was out of mercy. And it, notice here in verse 78, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. That's a reference to the Messiah. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. We also find in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. So it's a reference to the healing power, the spiritual healing that's going to come through the Messiah, the fact that Jesus brings true light, Jesus brings that revelation of the knowledge of God, of who he is, but he also brings a revelation of our sin. So we find that Jesus does give us mercy, but mercy gave us Jesus because of the tender mercy of our God. You do realize this, right? You do realize this is ultimately what Christmas is about. It's not about a little baby coming into the world and the world is all at peace and the world is a wonderful place and the world is just very loving and kind and welcoming. That's not the world into which Jesus came. When Jesus came, and I hear people say, well, Jesus came and all these good people worship him and everything. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I mean, Jesus came, and the fact that God sent Jesus was a very, at its core, it's an act of mercy. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Before Jesus, we are all messed up. We are tore up from the flow up. I mean, we are. Every single one of us. There's no getting around that. And if you say, well, that's not me, you just don't realize how bad it is. Ask your neighbor. They'll tell you. We are messed up. We live in a messed up world because we are messed up people in a messed up world. And our position and our condition both cry out for that mercy that we didn't even know that we needed. Our position is separated from God. Our condition is dead in our sins. So our position is away from God. Our condition is that we are dead and we can't do anything about it. God showed us mercy when he sent Jesus. Sending that little baby, got the God-man born in that manger, laid in that manger, born there, came to earth. That was an incredible act of God's mercy. I love Ephesians chapter 2. If I had to pick a Christmas passage, this would be it. Ephesians chapter 2, well, it doesn't mention anything about Christmas. Yeah, it does. It's all about Christmas. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Well, that doesn't sound too hopeful. But then you get to verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were separated from God. We once lived in the passions of our flesh. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. I heard Vodi Bakum say one time, I quoted this recently to some of you, I heard Vodi Bakum say that you do know it was God's mercy that woke you up this morning because it was his judgment that should have killed you last night. It's true. Absolutely true. Look at where we were. Verse 3. We were, Ephesians chapter 2. We were children of wrath. We deserved God's wrath. What did God do? Verse 4. God showed us mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in the trespasses and sins. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, what happened? Verse 5. God made us alive. We find that in verse 2, we once walked following the course of this world. So we're walking according to the way of the world. What happens in verse 6? He raised us up and seated us in the heavenly places with Christ. We've gone from walking in the course of the world to being seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Verse 3, we once lived in the passions of our flesh. What happens now? Verse 7, now we've been changed, so in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So that his grace may be seen, we have been transformed. God has shown us mercy. Yes, we get mercy from Jesus. But yes, it was mercy that gave us Jesus to begin with, because we were dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins, completely and totally separated from God. And God himself made the first move. It was not up to humanity to say, we need to figure out a plan and go present it to God. If only we do enough of these things, or enough of those things, or if we avoid this, or if we don't touch that, then maybe God will be pleased and we'll be okay. It doesn't work that way. God said, none of that's going to work. The only way it's going to work is if I come to you. R.C. Sproul died this week. I don't know if any of you saw that in the news. He had a quote, I'm probably going to butcher it, but he had a quote, and he said, it's not just a matter of Jesus, or of God coming and rescuing a sinner. It's not a matter of God coming and rescuing a drowning person. It is a matter of God diving to the bottom of the ocean, picking up a dead, drowned corpse, and bringing that corpse back up onto the bank and breathing life into him and making him breathe again. That's the difference. It's not that we were sick in our sin, or limping along in our sin, or just kind of wounded by our sin. We were dead in our sin and separated from God. Our condition was deadness and our position was separation. But what happened? God, who is rich in mercy. That is a great conjunction there. But God, who is rich in mercy. So Jesus shows us mercy. But at the same time, mercy is what gave us Christ. Secondly, whenever we talk about finding our way, first of all, we need to know where we are. In order to find your way somewhere that you need to go, you need to know exactly where you are, right? So we know that where we were, or if without Christ, where we are, that is, we are in need of his mercy, and his mercy is what sent Christ. Secondly, sin stalls us. Looking back at Zechariah's prophecy, verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Notice what he says there, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. There's no movement going on there. You're sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. You don't move around when it's dark like that. You could get hurt. A number of years ago, I went on a caving tour with a bunch of students. And we got down into a cave up in East Tennessee, and there was this crack running down into the, well, deeper into the cave. And we got down in there, and you're kind of going downhill and kind of squeezing your way through this rock. Some of you are starting hyperventilate right now. Just saw it. Some of you are like loosening that tie, getting some air. So we go all the way down. We get inside this chamber, and we have our flashlights on. And the guide says, "Now, on the way out, you can't use your light." Yeah, I can. There's nothing wrong with it. He said, "No, you can't. You can't use it. You have to. I want everybody to turn it off, and I want everybody to go by feel, and feel your way out of there. Feel your way back out of there." I said, "Man, That's like 60, 70 yards back up through there, through that crack in the rock." He said, "Yeah, I know." So believe me, he said, "I mean, you can't get turned around. There's only one way. You know, it's up or down." I said, "Well, that's two ways, but you know." He said, "So you just go on." So I turn my light off, hung it on my belt, and I start moving my way up. Now, I will admit I went ahead and I got ahead of everybody because I didn't want to be trapped behind somebody who got stuck. Because they wouldn't be stuck for long. But I didn't want to. We can loosen you up. So I was first. So I'm going along and I'm working my way along. And I mean, it is dark. And by dark, I mean like dark, like a darkness hitherto unknown. It's dark. And I'm moving along. And as I'm moving and I'm just kind of feeling my way, and you have to feel ahead because you don't want to hit your head on the rock. And I mean, we're talking like you have to like exhale all the air to get through some of these places. And so we're sliding along. And as I'm going to my right, as I'm moving up, there's like this little tiny bit of light. And I get excited. And the closer I get to it, I'm getting toward one of the main passageways in this cave where it's all lit up. And the closer I'm getting to it, the brighter it's getting. And I'm moving faster and getting more excited as I go. But here's what and once you get out into this chamber, you're like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. And here we are. But I noticed the comparison of when I was looking back down in there, I was watching the kids as they would just get that first glimpse of light and how much more quickly they would move. As opposed to when we started, nobody was moving fast and some people weren't even moving at all when we started. Why? Because it's dark and you can't see your way. You can't find your way. And unless he directed us in the direction that we needed to go in order to move in that direction, there was no way that we would have been able to find our way out of there. Sin stalls you because of that darkness. That's what happens whenever you are steeped in that sin and you are controlled by that sin. You don't move anywhere. You don't move spiritually. You just sit. You sit in darkness. You sit in the shadow of death. And you don't move. You can't move. You're locked in there. But it's only when God reveals himself through his Son and that light comes and that light dawns that we start to say, oh, now I see the way that he is leading me, that he is directing me. Not that I'm doing it by my own power. He has to come and he has to reveal that because sin stalls us out. Those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. This idea is reiterated in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word is in reference to Jesus himself. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We're looking at him. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, that's Jesus, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 9, he's the true light which gives light to everyone. He was coming into the world. Sin stalls us out in the darkness. Jesus comes, and Jesus is the light. Not only does he bring light, he is the light. He gives us that direction and that guidance, and he shows us where we are, and he shows us where we need to go. You realize those are two things that light can do. It shows you where you are, and then it can show you the direction. It shows you your position, and it shows you the direction that you need to move in. And Jesus does exactly that. Jesus comes, and where sin has stalled you out, where sin had you locked in, where you were dead in your sins and your trespasses, and you were sitting in the shadow of darkness, shadow of death, you were sitting there in darkness, you did not move, you could not move, Jesus himself came. Notice what it says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There's movement there. It goes from sitting in darkness to our feet being guided in the way of peace. There's movement. Jesus moves us. He changes us. We were talking the other day. I was talking to a group of people, and the bottom line, it comes down to, you don't talk about salvation. If there's no change, there's no Jesus. Jesus always brings change to people. Always. Always and always and always. He doesn't leave you as you are. But I thought he loves me just as I am. He loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you just as you are. So Jesus comes, and Jesus takes us out of that place of being stalled by sin. Are you stalled by sin today? Maybe you're a child of God and you're stalled by sin. Maybe you're stalled in your sin, and maybe you're sitting in that darkness. Maybe there's been so much darkness or so much stuff, and you've kind of stepped away from God, and you've kind of done your own thing, and you've done it for so long that you've sort of grown cold and you've grown dark toward the things of God. And Jesus is shedding that light in those areas of your life. Do you need to move toward him? Do you need to say, yes, God? Or maybe you've never received Christ today. And maybe because of the illumination of his word, he's been speaking to you lately, and he's been shining that light into those dark places of your heart, and you start saying, yes, God, this is what I need. I need a change. I need you to do something in me that I cannot do myself. Sin stalls us. Jesus is the light. And he comes and he gives light to everyone. That idea of giving light to everyone doesn't mean everybody's saved. That's not what it means. But it means he reveals himself. God has revealed himself to the world through creation and through conscience and through God's work. God reveals himself. And we have to respond to that revelation. Finally, verse 79 shows us that we can't manufacture peace. If we're going to move in this direction, if God shows us the way, that we can't do it on our own. Notice it says, he gives light to guide our feet into the way of peace. He's the one who moves us in the way of peace. He's the one who does it. We don't do it on our own. No one says, oh, I figured it all out. I figured this whole thing out. I got the whole plan laid out. I can do this on my own. If I just do these easy steps, I'll be okay with God. Everything's going to be perfect. I don't need the whole Jesus thing. It's not the way it works. Only he guides us in that way of peace. We can't manufacture it on our own. We try to. If I get just enough of this, or if I don't do that, and I can feel good about myself, and people speak well of me, and I have these possessions, or I have this address, and I have all this in place, then I will have peace. No, you won't. That doesn't bring peace. Never. Never, ever, ever does that bring peace. Well, I think if you have heard this year, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, if you get me this for Christmas, I will never ask for anything else again. Can I get a witness? Come on now. Some of y'all saw it. You know that's not true, because it ain't true. Oh, but I mean it. I will never ask for anything again. It's not true. You're going to. They'll ask again and again and again. Why? Because we can't manufacture peace. We can't get something that's going to bring us peace other than Christ himself. We can't get something, manufacture something, work up something, have the right kind of emotion, or have the right kind of thought process, or check enough things off our to-do list in order to get peace. We can't. There will always be something else, because the human heart is never satisfied until it is satisfied in the one for whom it was created to be satisfied in, and that is the person of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the only one who meets your deepest longings. Why? Because you were designed for that. And all that other stuff that you pour in there, all that other stuff that you just you dump in, it's just a giant empty hole. And you just throw it in and throw it in and throw it in. And things just keep going and keep going and keep going. A joke came to mind. I don't even know if I'm going to tell it. I will tell it. Okay. Because I'm never going to have another opportunity. I just thought about it. This is not in the notes. This is free. Anyway. This was my favorite joke when I was a kid. I don't know why I didn't have it in my notes. This would be a really good illustration. I'm going to make a note. Okay. Anyway. Get on with it, right? Okay. There's this guy that is walking along through a field one day, and he sees this giant hole. It's like just giant, deep, deep hole. And so he takes a rock, and he picks it up, and he throws it in the hole. And he sees it disappear into the darkness, and he listens, and he listens, and he listens, and he listens, and he never hears it hit the bottom. And so he goes over and he finds a bigger rock and he takes it over and he throws it in the hole and he watches and it falls and he never hears it hit the bottom. And he says, I need something that maybe is a little more, maybe more resonant, maybe it's wider, maybe it could hit the sides, maybe I have something that would, and he starts looking around, he sees this really big railroad tie, like one of those wooden railroad ties. And so he picks it up and he kind of scoots it over the edge and he flips it over in the end of the hole and he watches it disappear. And then in a moment he hears this goat. That's what I said, a goat. Here's a goat, like making noises that goats make. I won't regale you with that, but anyway. And the goat comes running past him and jumps into the hole. The guy's like, that, I don't know what that's about. And he's standing there, and then this older gentleman walks up, and he says, hey, have you seen my goat? And the guy said, yeah, there's this goat that just came running by me and jumped down that hole. And the guy said, that wouldn't be my goat. See, my goat was tied to this railroad tie. That's, sorry. That's my favorite joke when I was a little kid. No animals were killed or harmed in the making of this joke. For those of you that might be sympathetic. That's what it is in our heart, though. It's a great big empty hole, and it doesn't matter what you throw in there, it's never going to find bottom. You just keep throwing stuff in. You keep shoveling stuff in. You can throw all sorts of possessions and money and titles and addresses and everything else. You can throw it into that big empty hole that is our heart, and nothing is going to fill that up. It is only Jesus himself who can absolutely not only fill that emptiness of our souls, but not only fill it up, but overflow it with himself. That's what we were created for. Have you thought about this? You're not just created. We're created to know God. But moreover, we're created to be overwhelmed by God. We're created to know him and be completely and totally overwhelmed by his presence and never grow weary and never grow bored of that. And God can do exactly that. He is the one who leads us in the way of peace because we can't manufacture it ourselves. The idea of peace you find in the Bible, when you look in the New Testament, it comes along with the idea of reconciliation, that we're brought back into a right relationship with God. Because of the blood of Christ, because of what Jesus did, we're no longer at war with God. We're no longer enemies of God. Because before Christ, we all are enemies of God. And through Christ, we are brought back into right relationship. There is peace made between us and God. And the peace that we have with God enables us to lead lives of peace. Why? Because we are at peace with the one with whom we have the most at stake. And when we are at peace with God, when we are reconciled to God, we're brought back into a right relationship with God himself. When that happens, then he takes care of all the lesser things, and we can trust him in that. There's a old parable that was told about a man who was trying to find the perfect illustration of peace. He was a very wealthy man, and so he commissioned some artists to paint what they perceived in their minds to be the ultimate depiction of peace. And it came down to two artists, and the people of the town gathered together, and they were going to determine which one was the best representation of peace. And the first artist took the cloth that was over his painting and he drew it down, and everyone gasped because it was this incredibly serene lake that he had painted with beautiful trees lining its banks and an incredible sunset blazoned across the sky. And everyone said, surely this is peace, a perfectly mirror still lake. This has got to be peace. And the second artist withdrew the cloth from his painting. And as the drape fell, everyone looked really confused because it was a painting that had storm clouds on the horizon. And the storm clouds were dark and they were billowing. And then in the foreground, there was this huge waterfall, evidently swollen from local rains, and it was just churning, and it was pounding, and it was splashing all over the rocks, and it looked like the water was even rising. And there, at the edge of the waterfall, was a small tree. And that small tree had grown up, a small crooked tree, and there was one limb that he had painted that stuck out right into the face of those falls. Just, it seemed like, just a few feet away from the front of all that churning water. And there on the end of that branch was a little nest. And sitting on that nest was a little tiny bird. And that bird was sitting on her eggs. And she was sitting there with her eyes closed, asleep. And he said, "That's peace. In the midst of a world that is dark and it's gone wrong and there's all sorts of danger and there's all sorts of things that would threaten to wash you away and destroy you, peace is being able to say, I am at peace here because I am at peace with the one with whom I have the most at stake, and that is the Lord God of the universe. And if I am reconciled to him and all is right between me and him, then all the lesser things are fine, and I can sleep peacefully on my nest in the midst of a storm in front of a churning waterfall with no fear. Why? Because I'm at peace with God. God sent the light to show the way." Is that where you are this morning? Maybe you need some direction this morning. Maybe you haven't fully thanked God for the mercy that he has shown whenever he sent his son. Maybe you want to take some time to just thank him for that. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't yet come to a realization that the mercy that God has is the mercy that sent Jesus to us. Or maybe you're wrestling with some other things. Maybe you're wrestling with peace, as we talked about when we started, as we prayed. Maybe you don't have peace this morning. Maybe you don't have peace with God and you need to come to a relationship with him. But maybe you don't have peace in your life right now and you need to remember that you have peace with God, and because of that, he'll give you that other kind of peace, that peace of heart, that peace of mind, that peace that passes all understanding, as his word tells us. God sent his son to show us the way. He loves us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for sending the way, the truth, the life, Jesus himself. And Father, I know during this time, whenever we are in darkness sometimes because of our sin, or we neglect to recognize your mercy for what it is, or maybe we try to manufacture our own peace, we recognize in all those instances, it's all about you. It was your mercy that started this. It was your light that shined in the midst of our deepest darkness, not our own. And you are the one who brings true peace, not us. It's all about you. It's always been all about you, and it always will be all about you. So, Father, I pray during this time, if there's someone here that has never made a decision to follow you, I pray today would be the day. I pray they would set aside anything else they've depended upon, anything else they've placed their hope in, anything else that they've looked to for peace or comfort or security, and they would throw themselves wholeheartedly upon you. Lord, if they're in the midst of darkness because of sin, I pray that you would use your word and your spirit to shine your light into their lives. Father, if there's anybody here who's at enmity with you, they're at war with you, they're enemies of you, Father, I pray that you would convict them and draw them near to yourself. Father, for those of us who know you, Father, I pray we would live in that knowledge that we can have peace in the midst of circumstances because you have given us the greatest peace that we could ever imagine, beyond anything we could imagine. And that's peace with you yourself. We're never going to be at war with you if we're your children. We're never going to experience your wrath if we're your children. We will never, ever, ever be separated from you again if we are your children. Thank you for meeting us in the midst of our position, in the midst of our condition. When we were far from you and dead in our sins, you drew us near and made us alive. Thank you for that truth. So, Father, I pray in this time that anybody who needs to respond in any way whatsoever would have the freedom to do so. Thank you for showing us the way. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. If you need to come forward and talk with someone, if you just want to come forward and pray, if you've been thinking about joining the church and you said, you know what, this is the place that I need to put down my roots, my family needs to put down our roots, and we would like to join and be a part of this faith family here, come forward. We'd love to have someone talk to you about your next step with that. However it is that God leads you during this time, you respond to him.